Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. On my left, Ezra Ginsberg. On my far left, Dave Manouk. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. He's our good friend, Jack Edwards. Jack, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Boys, it's been much too long of a summer. Good to chat with you again.
How's beautiful Long Island on a Saturday morning?
As dull as ever, you know, gray and lifeless. But I'll tell you how bad it is. It makes people want to move to Brooklyn.
Oh, zing. Exactly. You'll be able to see the Islanders in Brooklyn. But at least it'll be a lot more hipster next year when you guys visit there.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Hip-hop in a building built for basketball where the scoreboard's over one of the attacking zones. Just great. Can't wait.
Jack, the Bruins have started the year winning 8 of their first 12 games, you know, off to the, you know, sort of what we've become an expected, typical good start for this team. Is this a team right now, though, that feels it has unfinished business after losing in the Cup Finals last season?
You know, I'm not sure if they feel they have unfinished business so much as they were beaten by a true champion in Chicago. It was a great year for the Blackhawks, and at the end, the Blackhawks proved to be the better team, and it wasn't just the 17 seconds and the two-goal turnaround in Game 6. They are one of the few teams we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years who have been able to beat up the Bruins, just wear them down physically. And, you know, even if you want to play the game of ifs and buts, if the Bruins had managed to hang on, there isn't a doctor in the world who would have allowed Patrice Bergeron to get on a plane and fly to Chicago with a punctured lung. So no Bergeron, no win in Game 7. I just can't even imagine the Bruins doing that, no matter how good Tuukka Rask might have been. I just think they'd spend the whole night with the puck in their own end of the ice. So, you know, tip of the cap to Chicago. The Bruins are moving on. They changed the team substantially with some acquisitions, letting Tyler Seguin go. And on paper and so far on the ice, when they've had all their parts, they've been a better team.
Jack, you mentioned you know, the Tyler Seguin trade for Louis Erickson, and then Rich Peverly was also part of that trade. That was the big off-season move that Peter Chiarelli made. And we have to ask you about Louis Erickson because of the fact that he was knocked out with a concussion by John Scott, who was subsequently suspended for 7 games. It's a two-part question about Louis Erickson. How is he currently feeling after that dirty hit by John Scott? And when healthy, how is he fitting in on that top line of the Boston Bruins?
Most important, he's feeling pretty good. He's traveling with the team, even though it's a down-and-backer to the island for the Bruins. And he has begun to skate again. He's been cleared to skate. And if he continues to have good days, as we all know with concussions, it doesn't really take on any given pattern. But if he continues to have good days, he should be practicing with the team next week. When he's healthy, he is really good with Patrice Bergeron. And reads the game very, very well, plays extremely conscientiously in the back two-thirds of the ice, which, of course, is the key to Claude Julien's system. It's not that the Bruins don't play an attacking style of hockey because they can ring up a lot of goals when everybody's clicking, but it starts with the forwards providing back pressure on onrushing opposing forwards so the defenseman can stand up at the blue line, and the opposing forwards like Sidney Crosby in the Eastern Conference Final last year, they run out of time and space. And Erickson does that exceptionally well. He's actually got some really good nasty to his game, plays a good brand of hockey. It's not dirty, but it's very hard to play against, and also has terrific vision and great stick skills. So he's a really nice complement to the team. Certainly not the incredible speed and high-end potential finishing ability that Tyler Seguin has, but a much more complete player at this stage in his career.
Jack, the other offseason acquisition saw Jerome McGinley finally become a member of the Bruins after the false start at last season's trade deadline. Given the disappointing playoff performance that McGinley put forth when he looked like a guy at the tail end of his career, are you surprised that he's gotten off to such a solid start in Boston?
Not at all. And in fact, you know, taking nothing away from the great run in 2011 and what they've done during the Claude Julien era, in my opinion, the Pittsburgh series was Claude's finest hour. You know, you take the incredible talent on that Pittsburgh team, and Iginla was part of that incredible talent, and you hold it to two goals in four games, something's going on there. And what was going on there was the Bruins were playing the most suffocating defense ever seen. I mean, that, it's going to be a long, long time before we see that kind of firepower with that many MVPs in the same lineup. You know, not just the two guys who've won it, but also the number of times they have won it and are going to win it, and they're held to two goals in four games. And Iginla was just part of that train wreck for Pittsburgh. He was one of the guys who didn't have any time and space. But he has been everything the Bruins had hoped he would be. He got in a fight on opening night, and the crowd loved him immediately. He's the kind of guy who will defend any player wearing the same color sweater. Well, you guys know. I mean, you've been a lot closer to him than I have for years and years, and I openly had the man crush on him when he was playing for Calgary. He was born to wear black and gold as far as Bruins followers are concerned.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined by Jack Edwards. He's the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. Jack, going back to the offseason trade, the Sagan trade that saw Louis Erickson come to Dallas, the only other piece of the trade who is currently playing for the Bruins is Riley Smith. Are you surprised he's been able to gain the trust of Claude Julien so early on in his tenure as a member of the Bruins?
You know, since the Eastern Conference teams didn't see the Western Conference teams last year until the Stanley Cup final, I really had no idea if this guy was a player or not. He's a player. He's really got some grit to his game. He makes creative passes. We've seen him make several indirect passes off the kick plate at the bottom of the boards that have been right on the money, like billiard shot passes. But again, it starts with defense. And if you want to get Claude's attention and you want to play minutes for him consistently, you're going to do the job in your own end of the ice. And that goes beyond just pasting guys along the boards. It means that as a wing, you win the puck battles, but then when you see your center in trouble, you get within 7 or 8 feet of him in a lane where he's got an easy pass to make. And Riley Smith is very, very good at reading what's going to happen that way. He's fit in extremely well. You get the feeling over the last 3 or 4 games that the performance is getting a little inconsistent, which you usually see from a guy who's only been around for a couple of years, 3 years, and he's probably going to hit some flat spots. But the Bruins have institutional depth that they have never had since Claude Julien was here, and obviously not since Chiarelli has arrived. And they were able to do things like seeing a third line that had gone a little bit flat. They called up Ryan Spooner from Providence a couple of nights ago, and Spooner was terrific in his debut, and everybody thinks he's going to be right back in the lineup again tonight against the Islanders.
Jack, I wanted to ask you about Milan Lucic. He's one of my favorite players. I know he's referenced a lot as kind of like the second coming of Cam Neely there. Maybe not as prolific of a goal scorer, but because he plays the game as kind of that prototypical power forward. But he's got 12 points in his first 12 games, and he's been a force on a night-in and night-out basis. And as you know, last year was kind of a difficult year for him in the lockdown shortened year. He was even a healthy scratch a few times there. What would you attribute the return of the old Milan Lucic to?
A lot of factors. One, he got married and became a father in quick order last fall. That was, in the fall of 2012. That changes everybody's priorities. It doesn't matter how much you tell yourself you're ready to become a parent, it changes your priorities in life. And he wasn't in very good shape when he showed up in January. He got off to a decent start, but nobody around the league was really in true game shape when they dropped the puck on the shortened season. Then it caught up with him. He went into a deep, long slump, did not play well, was not moving his feet. He finally got in shape late in the season, and he was tremendous in the playoffs. He was unforgettable in the back half of the third period of Game 7 against Toronto. He actually had one of those, like, hop on my back, I'll carry you boys moments where the whole team followed his lead. And he's taken that through the playoffs and right into the beginning of this season. He showed up in the best shape of his life for training camp. Not openly saying it, but maybe thinking, hey, you know, maybe I can get on Team Canada and go to Sochi and represent my country in the Olympics. everybody wonders if the guy's going to be mobile enough to play on the big ice surface. He's a lot faster than people think he is. He is really a fast guy. For somebody who carries the size that he carries, he scares people. You know, he really scares people. There's a clip out there on the internet of Nicklas Hjalmarsson in game two of the Stanley Cup final, seeing Lucic barreling down the left wing, and he actually just flips the puck up the boards, producing a turnover, and scampers out of the way. And Hjalmarsson's a pretty tough guy. He's a pretty tough guy, but you see that 230 pounds wearing train number 17 on the front of the locomotive, you don't want to play on the tracks.
Earlier in October, the Bruins signed Dennis Seidenberg to a four-year, $16 million contract extension. At the time, Peter Chiarelli said that signing Seidenberg was one of the organization's top priorities. At the end of the contract, he'll be almost 37 years old. Given the physical style of play, did the Bruins have any hesitation in giving him a four-year deal, or does his chemistry with Chara make him too valuable to see walk away?
His chemistry with everybody makes him too valuable to let him walk away, and the feeling is that he takes such tremendous care of himself that he is not going to be one of these guys that suddenly just can't play. I think there's going to be a long warning light on Dennis Seidenberg, and my guess is that unless we have an unforeseen injury, he's going to be very strong at the end of this four-year contract. Also, if you think about it, Seidenberg being one of the most underrated players in the entire league and maybe the most underrated defenseman in the NHL, signing for $4 million a year is probably lower than his market rate. Mm-hmm. And it tells you that he's extraordinarily happy in Boston. He's found a system. He's found a home. He's found a city. He's found teammates that all make it work for him. And obviously it works for the team. And if you look at the way Chiarelli is building out, and the Sagan trade, I think, in my opinion, is part of this. Sagan's going to be a prolific scorer in the NHL. He's going to retire with somewhere between 300 and 600 goals. Who knows? Just depends on systems and you know, injuries and how much he wants it. But he's going to score a ton. But he's not going to get there for a while, and he's not going to get there in closed system for even a longer time. So with Chara and Seidenberg in the window right now, where they're playing at their peak for at least another 2, maybe 3 years, right at the top of their ability to shut down opponents, you make the deal for an Erickson and a Riley Smith, who gives you a little bit more depth, but mostly for an Erickson, who's a much more finished player, in order to take advantage of that Stanley Cup championship window before Dougie Hamilton really ascends to what they hope he's going to ascend to, which is not a given. It's not an automatic. But if he progresses, if Hamilton progresses the way they hope, then that four-year contract of Seidenberg and the long-term deal that's still going to be running on Chara will have been worth it, so they can keep the window open until Hamilton makes the transition to being a number one defenseman in the NHL. And that way, they can reload instead of having to rebuild.
Jack, we'll let you go on this last question. Fans here in Winnipeg have adopted Anthony Peluso as a new fan favorite. Peluso says he tries to model his game after Boston Bruins winger Sean Thornton. For fans in Winnipeg who may not be as familiar with Thornton, what does he do for the Bruins that makes him so valuable to that organization?
I love him like a son. I really do. Sean Thornton has his priorities on and off the ice completely in line. He is dedicated to his team, his teammates, and his community. He understands the role that he plays on the team, never, ever complains about ice time, every once in a while takes a bad penalty and is truly remorseful for it. He gets it. He totally gets it. You know, Thornton is a guy whose grandfather worked in a steel mill in Oshawa, whose father worked in the steel mill in Oshawa. He worked in the steel mill in Oshawa. You know, yeah, those are weight room muscles, but they also started in the steel mill in Oshawa. The guy gets it. You know, he totally understands how fortunate he is to be playing hockey and how wonderful it is to have teammates who will have his back because he has their backs. And yes, I've seen Peluso play, and I'm totally on that page with you. And you want guys like that to do well and to be around for a long, long time because they're really special. They're really special people, and they remind you how fortunate all of us are no matter what our walks of life are.
Jack, that's really a great story, and I just wanted to mention it's a little-known fact that Drew also worked in a steel factory in Winnipeg.
That's not the least
and
bit
that's
true.
That's why he is as ripped as the Hulk.
Jack Edwards is the voice of the Boston Bruins on the New England Sports Network. He's one of our favorites. Jack, thanks very much for doing this morning.
Always fun, boys. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.